I feel really fulfilled and connected with you. So yesterday I had a class and I cried twice.
Whoa. Why?
Now I have the space in my heart to to say yes to more things. Because before everything...
Welcome to the Asian Soup Podcast.
This is your co-host Jules.
And this is your co-host Rox.
The Asian Soup Podcast is your cozy space on the internet where we share and discover real stories about one another.
We chat about a range of topics from careers, personal growth, relationships, and much more.
Come sit with us
and get nourished. Hey Jules.
Hey Rox.
Welcome to season two.
Wow. Season two, episode one.
I wonder what this season will bring.
Well, we did chat about it and we said we want to have more guests on season two or in for season two.
Yes.
And hopefully they'll bring some more perspectives and more stories about other people, which I'm really excited about.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know if it'll be too different, but we're so like go with the flow. Like we go episode by episode. So I feel like... honestly, I don't know what will come at the end of episode 25 of season two.
Yes. So welcome to the ride and yeah, we'll see where we get to.
Yes, exactly. So how was your day today?
My day today was pretty good. I just worked from home. It's a Friday today, our favorite Friday and Saturday night activity coming to record. It was a busy day just working, but... pretty relaxed, I guess, just because I'm at home. But yeah, a few big projects coming up. How about you? How was your day?
Yeah, for me, I also work from home today as well. And it was pretty chill, I think. I try not to overdo things on Friday because, you know, it's like...
End of the week. No one's in the mood.
Yeah, and you don't want to start like something new, a new project on a Friday. I don't know. I feel like I've changed so much. I used to be like, oh, I'll work really hard till like 4:45 p.m. on a Friday. But now I'm just like, no. We want to be in weekend mode from Friday.
I definitely left something till the end of the day and I kind of regretted it. It's like reporting, which is and then after it, because usually I finish at 5, but I finished a bit later today. And it's not my job's fault, it's my own fault, but I just wanted to get ahead for next week because anyways, and then I was just stuck doing it, and we have like a roster for who does the reporting for the month, and then by the end of it I was like, I suck at reporting, like I am not the type. I'm so glad that I'm not in a role where I'm on Excel spreadsheets, like I'm not great with formulas. If there's a discrepancy somewhere, I'm like, oh, shit, like what do I even look for this? Like after I finished, I was like, I'm so glad. Like even though it's a tiny, tiny part of my role, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm so glad I'm not. I know that that's not my strong point, but also I don't enjoy it. So it's two things, right? Like I'm not good at it and also I don't enjoy it.
Yeah, no, it's a blessing you don't enjoy it, because if you enjoy it.
But then I might be good at it if I enjoyed it. And it would be easier. Bro, but no now it's one... hard because I'm making it hard and I left it last minute. So I don't know. It's like that cycle.
No one likes reporting.
If I could tackle it and be really good at it, maybe I would enjoy it. But right now I'm not into it.
I can assure you no one – I've never heard anyone that says, I love reporting.
That's... some people are really good at it. Like,
but do they like it?
Yeah, but like – you know, people who are analytics people who are really numbers people and they're like, oh, I found patterns and, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, like I like looking at it, like end.
Yeah.
Like, when it's all done.
Yeah.
But yeah, doing it. Anyway, sorry, I went on a tangent there.
No, I think a lot of people can relate.
Yeah.
Reporting, doing taxes, I don't know, like that's all like in the same bucket for me. So yeah, I used to do reporting every month for when I was in my agency role.
Yeah,
I hated it. Like when I was in, I'll be in a bad mood and then I'll always add like, oh, well, by the way, it's reporting time. Yeah, that's why I'm like this.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
yeah, it's just boring.
But you need to get it done. It's yeah. like, just get yeah, it done. Exactly. And then it's like, oh, thank God.
Exactly, okay. exactly.
Until next month.
yeah. At least you get to share it.
Yeah, yeah, true. Mm. What else has been happening, Jules, apart from working from home today? Like, how have you been feeling lately?
I've been doing a lot of, like, reflection, actually,
mm-hmm.
and lots of, yeah, a lot of self-reflection the past few weeks, mm-hmm. I would say. I think also with the new season of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I want to celebrate with you because you've moved out.
Oh,
and you're on your own. And that was, I was just listening to our finale, like season finale, and your goal or hope for this year was to have your own space and have that home energy. And I feel like, are you excited?
I was so excited when I first moved out. It was just so freaking nice to be able to come home and do nothing and not talk to anyone, because my partner, he was in Japan, or he's still in Japan, for like over a month, so I was literally just by myself and in like a space by myself as well. And I think I really love it. I really, really love it. And it's just given me more space in my heart because, I just have more capacity to be able to, like, I don't know if this is going to sound extreme, but like to do more things on the weekend or even on the weeknights.
Yeah.
Because I have time to actually chill out and rejuvenate, you know? My battery is a bit more charged now.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was living at home, so I was living at home with my parents, I think because we moved in since COVID, I lived with them for like 2.5 years. I was sort of at the end of it where it was just hard. Just things, you know, build up and everyone gets more comfortable and stuff like that.
And then having that time also to reflect, right? Like when I was living with my parents, it's like, you know, there's someone constantly there. So you might be thinking of them. Like if I'm going to the kitchen to make a snack, it's like maybe they're using the kitchen or something like that. You know, it's like you don't just have peace and quiet for yourself.
Yeah.
Like obviously we love our families. But it's not easy, I guess, as an adult when you're just ready to have your own space. What was the reflection like? Was there any, is there anything in that that you wanted to share or not really?
Yeah, I think I was able to reflect because I had so much space and time alone. And I think something that I've sort of come to realize is, I think last year was a lot of like me wanting to be independent and just sort of, have my own space and time and, you know, like gather myself. But I feel like now I'm sort of craving to be around people more. So that's...
Now that you're alone and now that you've moved out and you have your own space, you're like, okay, I'm ready for people. But I think that makes sense.
Maybe that's... So guys, one of the topics that we had in mind was loneliness. Because I've been alone. That's why maybe I came up with that topic. Like, oh, maybe we could talk about loneliness, because I don't necessarily feel lonely, but then maybe I am. I don't know. Like,
I think it's because like when you're living alone, it's like now you need to consciously make plans to see people, or you have the energy to plan that now. Not that sometimes when I was living with my parents, it was more like I want escape. Like I want to escape my home and hang out with a lot of people. But then now that you're alone and you're like enjoying your own time, now you're like, okay, I have time to spend with some people that I actually want to spend time with, you know? Choose. Now you can pick and choose, not because you're like, oh, I don't want to be home. I want to be out all the time.
Yeah.
But now it's like I do enjoy being home, but I also want to see some people.
That's exactly right. Did you feel that as well when you...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I never liked being home when I was living with my parents, really. I would always just want to be out.
But then now, are you kind of like a bit more selective
Yeah.
and you with, you know, who you want to spend time with.
For sure, yeah, for sure. But I feel like I was just joking with my colleague the other day, like, now that I don't know if it's really when you hit 30 and plus that this happens, but really I try to keep my weekends with like one or two commitments max. You know, like that's all I can really deal with. If it's more, I'm like stressed. Like I want to see people, but it'll be like a choice.
Yeah. I'm the same. Yeah. I'm the same. Like one or two activities for that weekend is like enough for me. That's my limit. I don't know when that turning point was, but yeah, even the other day in my calendar, I blocked out my Sundays and I called it self-care Sunday because I think for a while I want to just have Sunday just for me and be able to do like yoga or like go for walks or like have my downtime and reflect and maybe like read books or whatever I need to do to like fill my soul.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But I think it's funny that you said what you just said, because even a year ago when we first started doing the podcast, you were like very busy and you would have lots, like sometimes you have like three things in a day. And I thought, you know what I actually thought?
I thought
Rox has so much energy. I actually thought she has so much energy. And I thought, am I like a tired? Am I tired? Am I a tired person?
No. I was tired.
So you're pushing yourself, were you?
I think so. I think it depends. It depends what it is. Mm. But then I try to avoid those days now because like if I have a lunch on, or I could have a lunch and dinner, but that is like really busy with different people, right? That would be a really busy day. Like I would want to try and just have one thing these days. Mm-mm. But when we had those days last year, we realized the podcast, like I couldn't keep up and the quality of what we were saying, I wasn't relaxed enough to speak smoothly, or I was in a rush to get somewhere. Like it was just not ideal. But I really liked what you said just now about blocking out time. I think not everyone knows that they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this was another kind of work realization as well. Oh, yeah. I think someone brought up realizing, kind of like a team, you know, when you kind of do retro sometimes, a colleague was saying they were doing a retro.
For people who don't know what a retro is, yes. What's a retro?
A retro is short for like retrospective. So if you're at the end of a sprint, which is like a week or a month or whatever your company or team works in. So at the end of a sprint or a project, you do a retro. Someone will facilitate it. So usually my role, you facilitate it. And then you kind of just go through with the team what went well, what didn't go well, what could have gone better. And there's different like ways you could do that activity, but you're meant to kind of create a safe space for people to reflect and share their feedback and get valuable feedback for you to take on for the next sprint to make things smoother. Anyways, and then so someone was mentioning that from a retro, and they do a little team pulse check-in, and one of the questions was like, do you have enough time? Do you feel like you have enough time for breaks or like your lunch break or something like that? And some people wrote like no, like really, you know, they didn't have time for breaks or they really didn't have time for lunch and stuff like that. But it was interesting because we were just chatting like, maybe some people don't realize that they can block out their time, you know. So yeah, do you know what I mean? Because when you're go, 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 and just having that rule of, 12 to 1 is my lunchtime, and just blocking it out in your work calendar. But also like you like blocking out your Sundays. If someone asks you, hey, can you do Sunday? You couldn't just be like, no, I can't do Sunday. You don't actually need to tell them why, really. Like I'm busy. Even though I have zero plans, I like getting out of the house. Like I can't. It's hard for me to stay in my home the whole day in the weekend. Like weekdays are fine because I'm working from home or something. But if it's a Sunday or a Saturday and I have no plans, which is awesome, I'll still want to go window shopping or go get a coffee or try to fit in a class if I can, or go out for lunch or something. Like I want to do something outside of the home. Does that make sense? Like I am a homebody, but if I am completely free, I still want to be out doing something for myself.
Right? I'm the same. Yeah. I'm always like, oh, I want to go like shopping or go to a cafe.
Yeah.
It's like treat yourself somehow.
Yeah.
If I don't, the bare minimum is like get Uber Eats. So let the outside come to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Like everything's good, but I'm just trying to like stay as stress-free as I can. I'm just going through some like health stuff right now. I'll probably share it later on in the season if I feel like it. Obviously, it's stressful if you go through some issues. So I also like saw a Chinese doctor recently. In order to stay stress-free, I've also like said no to certain things, set boundaries with like my time or what kind of activities or social activities I should or want to go to. If I don't feel it, if I'm not feeling it, like I'll just not put that pressure on myself, you know?
Yeah. So
to go.
Yeah. So to give a little bit of context, like a few weekends ago, there was this one event that me and Rock were both invited to.
Yes. Yes.
Probably the first one in a very, very long time.
Oh, yeah. Right? And it sounded so fun.
Yeah.
And so, it was like a friend's housewarming.
Yeah, yeah.
And party.
And then you said that you're not going to come because of, you know, like your own reasons.
Yeah.
And I remember saying like or feeling like, oh, yeah, do what you need to do kind of thing. But for you, I'm curious, like how are you feeling? Like was it hard to like say no? Mm-hmm. And is that something that you have done in the past as well?
I think I've done it. Like recently, like maybe end of last year and this year. And I feel like I shouldn't need an excuse, you know, like I felt fine not going and I don't really have FOMO, but I do maybe feel a bit bad for my friend that I didn't go. Like sometimes it's like me excluding myself from things, but then at the same time, I think like my friends who know me understand and they know what I'm going through. And then I feel like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I don't need to use certain reasons, you know, like, and I've also realized that I enjoy myself more with one-on-one or smaller group hangouts anyway. So there have been a lot of like bigger group things that I sometimes do say no to because not because it's not a great event. It's just that I get more out of smaller group or smaller interactions with people.
No, I think a lot of people can relate to that. And even me, like I was just, when you were saying all that, I was reflecting on, ask yourself, like, do I really want to go or is it because I feel like I have to go?
Yeah.
And
sometimes you have to go. So I could do go.
Do but you then, though?
You don't have to. You know, at the end of the day, people don't care. Like people are having a great time and friends that you're close with that love you, you'll see them when you see them. And if you have a good relationship separately, like I think they get it.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that's what I hope.
I know. It's like, yeah, what do you do if you really don't want to go for whatever reason? Like a wedding. For example.
But at a wedding, I don't know. Yeah. You don't have to go either. You don't always have to go, but.
I don't think I've ever.
Declined?
Yeah, I think a wedding is probably a really hard one personally for me to decline. Mm. I would need like a really, really good reason.
If it's overseas, I think it's a good reason.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's in Sydney, it's like there's no reason why you can't come. Then that's a bit awkward.
But then at the end of the day, everyone has a choice as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. True. There's times when I'm like, okay, maybe I've been in my shell for too long and maybe I should go to this thing and make an effort and I'll like get myself ready for it and do it. And then maybe after either I feel crap about it and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that for a while. Or maybe, you know, I meet someone or I hang out with a really close friend at the party. Like if I came that time to the housewarming, I probably would have hung out because I knew a few people there. I probably would have had a great time just hanging out with the few people I knew. But maybe it was just the external stuff as well, like, you know, trying to stay stress-free and going through health stuff. But I don't know, maybe it's correlated.
Yeah, but also... But
I don't know.
Rox and I, we are the same Myers-Briggs. We're INFP. And INFPs, we're like introverted.
You remember. I don't know. Am I INFJ now?
I think
now?
Maybe you're INFJ, but we're introverted and I think we prefer smaller groups. And I feel like people just, we go through different eras. You know how like right now there's like, oh, I'm in the, you know, healthy girl era and then I'm in the boss girl era. You know what I mean? Like okay, there's those different eras.
I'm definitely an introvert. That's probably the main issue here.
So I think I went through that period probably like the saying no version of me. That era was past now. Like that's happened. And because I've sort of said no to more events, now I have the space in my heart to to say yes to more things. Because before, everything that I did was a lot of it was like, oh, I think I have to. Of course I have to. I have to do it. I should go.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I should. Yeah. I'm invited. Yeah, I should go.
It's not always about hanging out all the time. You do know what I mean? It's like, say something really bad happens and you can pick up the phone and call your friend. Like, that's pretty good, you know? Or you see them once every 2 months, and just being able to be yourself with this person or know that they'll understand you and there's no like wall that you need to tiptoe around or something, then I think that's already really good with the friendship.
This podcast episode is kind of interesting because like when me and Rox, we meet to record, we'll be like, oh my God, hello, la 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 la, and like, what has it been like, la 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 la, we'll be like chatty.
We have like half an hour to an hour of us chatting, not recording. And today we met and we're like, don't talk to me until we record.
Yeah, because
don't talk to me. And now I'm like, what did you want to tell me?
Because I was like, sometimes I think like we pour so much energy when we meet each other and then we have our catch-ups and then we record. But I was curious, like, if we just didn't talk when we met, we just literally said hello, be like, yep, camera here, yep, mic here, yep, light set up, yep, that's it,
like the and energy.
I thought maybe like that energy that we usually have and the things that we wanted to share could, yeah, be channeled into this episode one of season two. So
I wonder if we'll feel it.
Well,
like when we look back, if we can tell.
Like the energy?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because as soon as the camera switched on, we go into like our podcaster character. But honestly, I'm going to just ignore the cameras there and the mics here as much as I can. And I'm just going to talk to you how I would normally talk to you if we caught up.
Yeah.
So something that I've been doing lately, I think I shared with you, is I've started a new course.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Called Nonviolent Communication.
Yes, yes. How is it?
It's called NVC. Yeah, so I've got one more class left. Mm-hmm. So I've had five classes out of six.
Yeah.
And
what is nonviolent communication?
So nonviolent communication it's basically like another language.
Mm-hmm.
You know how like you speak Chinese, I speak Korean, and we speak English. And then there's nonviolent communication. At least that's how
Please
I see it.
Please give us examples.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me give you a little bit of background. It's a guy called Marshall. He created nonviolent communication. He's a psychologist from like 60 years ago. Basically, it's language like from the heart. And it's a way of being able to express your needs
without being violent, right? Like,
yeah.
I think I need an example.
Yeah, so, okay, give me, okay, just say anything to me in a negative way. Or give me a negative thought or tell me something negative to me, like something passive aggressive, like just say something negative to me.
I feel so stupid.
Okay, firstly, stupid is not a feeling. They kind of call it like a faux feeling, like a fake feeling.
Mm.
So if you feel stupid, there's actually other feelings under that feeling. Mm. So for example, maybe you're feeling, if you feel stupid, maybe you're feeling scared or embarrassed. Like they're more real human feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't feel stupid. That's not a feeling like.
It's a fact. It's like either you're stupid or you're not.
No, that's the negative. You're negative.
I am stupid. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So kind of finding the going under that layer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay. So you might be wondering like why nonviolent communication and where would it be effective? Honestly, it's like useful everywhere. Like you can use it in the workplace, you can use it with your partner, with your family, friends. And I think I'm pretty good at being in tune with my feelings, but when it comes to like expressing what my needs are, I'm not good at doing that. Because I'm always like, I'm too much of a ingrained people pleaser. So I thought that's why I wanted to do this, because I want to become better at expressing my needs.
Mm-hmm.
But also understanding other people's needs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yesterday I had a class and I cried twice.
Whoa. Whoa. Why? Can you make me cry?
Okay, firstly, I have my period.
Okay.
So I thought maybe that has something to do with it. But the first time I cried was because somebody shared something with me, like a story, and then they were expressing it in nonviolent communication, and that helped her understand, like express what her need was.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I think I've heard of this like from Esther Perel, like I guess just a snippet of what she's like a psychologist, and she was like, you never care about my feelings. If I said that to you, you never care about my feelings. But actually to communicate my needs better, I should have said like, I feel like when I share something with you, I think I sometimes feel like you're not really listening to or care, like you're not really listening to what I'm saying, and or it feels like you've been too busy lately to sit down with me and have a conversation with me. But instead of saying you never care about me,
yeah,
something like that.
Yes, like, it's like that.
Yeah, yeah,
that's exactly right. So yeah, so somebody was sharing something and then it helped because of the language, like nonviolent communication, it helped her have self-empathy. So it's not just about like trying to understand your needs, it's also you can use it to
understand
yourself as well. Yep. And I literally witnessed her
realize
like actually what she really needed. And it was just so beautiful and so touching. I was just like, oh my God. And then the second time I cried was when we did this thing called empathetic listening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like how to listen to people when they if you want to be heard, like there's something in your heart and you want to share it, like how do you become a really good
listener? Mm.
The first step is just to not talk. Did you know that?
It's just listen.
It's just to and leave, you know, those awkward silences.
Give them good. The space. Yeah.
Because
and even repeating what they say, right?
Sometimes, yes.
Letting them talk and then be like, repeating like, yeah. So is this what you're saying?
Well, like I'll give you an example. Oh, it's
or you can share what you
mine
said.
Was like a 10 out of 10 situation. So we had to come up with a 6 out of 10 situation where we felt like we're pissed off kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was walking like to a cafe one morning, and I think I was a little bit stressed and I was like hurrying to get there, and I was going to work from that cafe. So I was kind of like power walking, and I think it was a Wednesday, and I think it was a bit bright. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of glare and stuff like that. And then this lady walked past me and she was just like, smile.
Oh my gosh, really? How annoying.
At me. And I was just like, what the hell? And I was just so annoyed on like so many levels. And I was just like, I was pissed because I couldn't even say anything because she's walking the other direction. And you know how we had that speaking up episode? So I'm like, damn it, I couldn't even speak up in that moment.
So she was saying it in a mean way. She wasn't saying it in a like a...
It was like an annoying way.
Yeah, like, why it's don't so you annoying. Smile?
Like, smile. And I was like in a mood where I was like, I don't want you to tell me what to do. Anyway, so that's my situation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you would normally tell a friend, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's in like nonviolent communication, it would be like, when I hear you say smile, I feel angry, self-conscious, and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a need for autonomy and like freedom for how I want to express my face.
Ah, okay.
So the last part is the request. Would you like to share with me
why you
said
that?
What you understood I just said.
Oh, like, so it's like you just expressed how you actually felt in a non-violent way.
Yep.
And then you're asking that person to see if they recognize what you just said.
Yeah. So that was my request.
Okay.
That was my request. So if the structure is observation, so like when I hear you say smile.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is feeling. So it's like
I
feel... You can't say stupid because that's not a faux feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I feel self-conscious, angry, and frustrated because I have a need for autonomy and freedom. The key thing with nonviolent communication, see, when I expressed myself just then, it was all about me. It wasn't about you. Like, you made me feel like this. It's not like that. It's I'm just expressing to you
how you feel. It's
all about me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sharing it with you, so it doesn't make it as personal.
Yeah.
So that's a little... taste of what nonviolent communication is. Yeah, what do you think?
I feel like it's very interesting. Like, I've definitely heard of, maybe not in that way, not like in a nonviolent communication way, but I've heard of like those examples, but more around like couples, like from basically Esther Perel, like more around like fighting and relationships. But I feel like, it could be used everywhere. Like, in all types of communication.
Yeah.
But I take things very personally, and I feel like sometimes you say things because you want to hurt the other person.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's like I can't imagine practicing that with my family. But I think it's really good to recognize how you feel and that you're not actually angry at the other person, because maybe you realize that actually I'm feeling unhappy about myself and I was just lashing out on the other person.
Yeah, it's like it becomes more about like what each person is missing or needing rather than what the other person is lacking.
Yeah.
Or not doing properly or doing right or wrong, whatever. A lot of people would bring up things like from the past as well, like an old memory, because not everything's resolved. Sometimes you have like things sitting in your heart for years and years and years. And it was kind of nice for me, at least, like I revisited like a problem from like 7 years ago, for example. But I still have like feelings about it now, so I was still able to get some kind of like healing from it. But do you guys know, have you guys heard about nonviolent communication? I'm really keen to know, and if you have any like questions, just DM us. But there's so many resources online about it. I just don't want to come across as like culty, sure, like, but it's not a religion, it's just expression, it's not culty, it's like a language,
it's just learning.
Thanks, friend.
It's not, I think it's communication and relationships is really important.
Let's get nourished.
So if you're new to our podcast, Let's Get Nourished is a segment where we try a different Asian soup.
Yep.
Or sometimes like an Asian dish.
A snack or something. Yeah. Like depends what we can get our hands on.
Exactly. And we eat it.
Yes, yes. So at the end of season one, we had tried a black sesame instant kind of soup we got from the Korean shops.
Then
it was both our first time, so we didn't realize we didn't like it because it was savory. But then this is the Chinese version that I was referring to. It's also an instant pack. It comes out from like a sachet. It's black sesame sweet soup, so it's like a dessert. Right now it's hot as well. And in Kanto it's called Zimawu, and it's one of my favorites. But yeah, let's try.
Oh, it smells like black sesame, and I already know I'm going to love this.
How do you know?
I'm salivating because I love black sesame so much.
But you didn't like the other one.
I know, but I just know this one is going to be good.
But I do like the mochi balls more, like the tonyun. It's sweet, this one.
This is good. This is good. The mochi ball one. I bought some. I got some in my freezer right now. You introduced me to something that I love.
It's like good.
Yeah, it's the best. This is like basically like those mochi balls.
But diluted a little bit. Diluted,
yep. And
it's still a bit thick.
Yeah. Diluted and mochiless.
Mochiless? What's mochiless? Oh, no, sans mochi.
Mochiless.
Cool.
Wow, this is instant?
Yeah, it's like powdered form, and then they have like a peanut version, an almond version. They have a black sesame version with a bit of ginger flavor. But yeah. I do really miss like the sweet dessert shops in Hong Kong, because they have like, they would have this and the mochi ball inside. Like you can do different combinations where it's like the soup is an almond sweet soup, and then you actually have the mochi ball thing with the black sesame. Like you can kind of mix and match things.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Our last episode of season one had so many views on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Who are you guys?
I don't know. I think it was just like, we must have gone on like a mini algorithm, and then people just maybe clicked into it, because it said, when I looked into the analytics, it said that people found us through recommended videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by and watching us.
Yeah. And if you have, you know, any new listeners, you know, please follow us on Instagram as well, or DM us. We love to hear from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think that's my favorite thing. Like when people DM us.
Comments. Yeah. And it's just good to get feedback. We have our regular listeners, but sometimes we don't know who is actually regularly listening. Like I know a few friends are regular listeners, but it is very exciting when people that don't know us listen. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
So if you don't know us and you're listening, you know, leave a random like or subscribe or comment. That would be amazing. Tell us what you don't like.
Please give us feedback. Mm-hmm. Always appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And any topic ideas too.
We'll catch you in the next episode. We may or may not have a guest. We'll see.
You'll find out. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.